Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome back to another episode of the How I Quit Alcohol podcast. For first-time listeners, please be aware that not all of the conversations within this podcast are suitable for children. I'd also like to add a trigger warning that sometimes the conversations can get a little heavy. We may talk about things like sexual abuse, domestic violence, drug use, and alcohol use. And if you feel that that may trigger you, please do not tune in. Also, I'd like to add, if you are a heavy daily drinker, please seek the help of a medical practitioner before quitting alcohol. This podcast comes to you from beautiful Bundjalung country. Please kick back and enjoy. Grab yourself your favorite alcohol-free bevy. And if you haven't already, do a gal a favor. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Hi, and welcome back to How I Quit Alcohol. Today in the Zoom room, I'm joined, I think maybe for the third time now, with Tara McCarthy, one of the How I Quit Alcohol grads, one of the OGs. And it's so awesome. I love getting Tara on. She's a beautiful human, always so insightful. And Tara recently got married. So we want to talk a bit about those celebration times, getting engaged, having hen's night, getting married and doing it alcohol free. Tara, how are you?
Thanks, Danny. Great to be back for my third round. Always fun to be here and to, I guess, share my experience with anyone that's listening and might be facing into some of those things that I've already navigated. So yeah, I'm great. I'm really good. My husband and I are having a little trial in a beachside location. So yeah, life is really good and I'm still sober. I don't even know how many days, but it's over like 3 years and 3 months around about. So wow. Yeah, great to kind of reflect on different things. So, yeah, thanks for having me, Danny.
Oh, my God, 3 years and 3 months. That is just absolutely unbelievable. I'm so stoked for you. Well done. You're catching up to me.
Yeah, well, I never. But also that'll be a good way. You can always rely on us grads, the OG grads, for how long you've been running your How I Quit Alcohol courses for or your challenges, because that is the first time that you ran your challenge. So whatever our date is will be your date as well.
Oh, my God, yes. Well, that's amazing. Well, that makes me feel good.
Yeah, 3 years, 3 months great. Being the coach.
Yes, and there's so many of you still going strong. I think I've talked about this before on the podcast, but I remember that night before that challenge when I woke Ash up and I'm like, I've got to give everyone their money back. I can't do this. And just completely freaking out, didn't sleep all night, felt sick. I was sweating and shaking on that first call. We were in an Airbnb and I was just trying to sort, I had sticky notes everywhere and oh my God, I've never been so nervous. And I remember Ash just saying, just do the one. And if everyone hates it and it sucks, you can give them their money back then. And anyway, I'm so glad I stuck to it. So thank you for being part of it. So Tara, one of the reasons I wanted to get you on today, sometimes when I'm coaching people, and not even just coaching people, sometimes getting messages from people saying, I've been alcohol free for 6 months or however many months, but I've got my wedding coming up and I just don't know how I'm going to do it. Or this one I got the other day that they want to go alcohol free. They want to quit, but they're getting married in 6 months' time. And so they're thinking they may as well just wait till after the wedding. There's even been people I've coached through like their daughter's weddings. And so that's a real concern for people, like how they show up to these things as a sober person. So that's one of the main reasons I want to get you on to talk about that today. Tell me a bit about, first, let's go back to the engagement. When Muzz popped the question, I know when Ash popped the question, we went and bought a very expensive bottle of champagne and drank it out of paper cups on a ferry in Canada somewhere and got shit-faced and think we had a fight at the end of it, at the end of the day. So romantic. Tell us about you, because there's those times where you're a big something to celebrate comes up, and then how do you celebrate that thing? So were you sober when Muzz asked you to get married?
Yes, definitely I was sober, and he was under a bit of pressure, actually. We'd just been away for a weekend in Bright, a beautiful, lovely weekend away for a car show, and I had been expecting it all weekend. We went for this romantic walk down the river, and I'm like, I'm about to get engaged. Didn't happen. We went out for a beautiful breakfast. I thought I might be getting engaged. Didn't happen. So we planned a catch up with some close friends, and I think I'd given them the heads up that we were going to get engaged and then it hadn't happened. And I said, well, we're going to go and see Craig tomorrow and we're not engaged, so just be ready for his disappointment. So anyway, we ended up getting engaged. He proposed as we were sitting on the bed with me, him, and our little doggy Ben dog, and it was just absolutely perfect. And to be honest, the thought of drinking at that point just did not even cross my mind. I would have been 2 years or 1.5 years sober by then. And so drinking at that milestone to celebrate the engagement just didn't even pass my mind. I think we went out the next morning for a brunch and called everyone. And, yeah, well, we were seeing my friend Craig already, so we already had an activity planned. We announced the news to them. But I think for me, that engagement activity was very, really easy to navigate sober. It didn't kind of bring any connotations of having to pop open the champagne. And when I kind of get to that point where I'm thinking, oh, I need to have like a Bevo to celebrate, Heineken Zero, love Heineken Zero. I just have one of those, or, you know, Sprite, no sugar is, or Coke, no sugar is generally my go-to. So I think for me specifically, I was quite well into my sober journey. So I think it was pretty easy to navigate without any of those kind of cravings or some of those societal expectations coming in.
Was there there was no expectation on you from other people? Oh, we're celebrating. You're not going to have a drink.
No, absolutely not. So at that point.
Why do you think that was?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty well broadcast to my social group that I don't drink. So at the engagement, but there was definitely questions around the hens and the wedding. Like that was definitely a reoccurring inquiry. I wouldn't say pressure, but people I think were interested knowing that I was sober, how I was going to approach the hens and the wedding. So people did ask me if I would drink at my wedding, which I thought was hilarious. I was like, what? Why? Yes. But, yeah, there was definitely inquiry around it.
And why do you think that is?
Look, I think it's the expectation. We, in Australian culture, it's really embedded that when an event happens, when you're celebrating, commiserating, any of those big life events are always, I guess, alcohol is really centered around that being part of it being a good time, or, you know, the commiseration. Because the other thing that comes to mind is the wake, where everyone wants to get boozed up, and went through that last year as well. And so the expectation is that a big life event is that you'll have a drink, and that somehow that moment, I think, is made better or celebrated or stamped or cemented more importantly than if you were to have a glass of water. And I don't know, I'll tell you this anecdote, right, because it's actually really funny. even though we're kind of talking about the engagement section. But at my wedding, where after we had said our vows, pronounced man and wife, kissed, walked down the aisle, had the beautiful photos, and we had bubbles, it was gorgeous, we were led down back to this section to have a picture, and we were walked to the bar, and there was two champagnes sitting there waiting for us. I was like, what? So we just went through, mm-hmm. right? I picked it up and we cheersed, and I was like, ah. But I'm like, I didn't even think to say to the venue, can you just have, like, what I would drink, have a Coke No Sugar can there, because that's like on brand for me. And I think the point of calling that out is just how expected it is that you will have a drink on your wedding day, because there was the champagne. The first thing I was meant to do before I spoke to any of my guests or did anything was I was meant to drink this glass of champagne, which I also had a good laugh at. So there are actually pictures of me at my wedding holding a glass of champagne, which is like crazy. But also, you know, it doesn't really matter. Yeah.
And it could have been alcohol-free champagne too. That's a really good thing. So I'm going to ask you at the end of this, like, tips for people, like if you want to be a sober bride or a sober groom, some tips. And that would definitely be one of them, like making sure you let the venue know that you're alcohol-free, and also like to have options there for people that are alcohol-free. It's funny, at our wedding, mine and Ash's wedding many years ago, I was definitely a drinker by that stage, but I was so worried about getting shit-faced at the wedding that I bought this horrible, it was like a, I can't remember the name of it, but it was like half-strength champagne.
Oh, yes.
And we were drinking those all day because we were starting to drink really early in the day. We drank those and I ended up with the most disgusting headache by the end, like a pounding headache. So I had so many of those drinks. Here's something else really shame. I'm going to admit this. This is really shameful. My best friend, I remember getting annoyed with her because she was pregnant for my wedding, and I was annoyed at her for being pregnant because she wouldn't be able to drink at my wedding. I mean, what the fuck? That's how, I mean, I'm so embarrassed to say that, but it's the truth. But also, it just shows how much expectation there is on people. Like, who gets annoyed with someone for being pregnant because they can't get drunk at their wedding? And she came to the wedding. She, you know, obviously she was beautiful. She had a great time. She was dancing all night. She was great. She had a beautiful little baby bump. And it made no difference to our night either. So a little confessional there, Tara, from me. All right. So tell me a bit about the hen's night too. So you said you had that expectation from people. Did you at all feel pressured or feel like, did it ever cross your mind?
Yes. Yeah. For my hens, it definitely did.
Great. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So actually, probably for one of the first times I contemplated breaking my sobriety and having a real drink. Like, there's been times I've had a sip of wine or tasted something just to see what it tasted like. But I actually seriously contemplated for my hens, never for my wedding. I was never interested to drink at the wedding. But I did really think a long and hard about whether I would drink at my hens to have a big party for my hens and really celebrate in what even I would have thought in the expected way, and to have a bit of wild abandon at my hens. So yeah, I did, and it was something that I weighed up quite a lot until I really resolved that I wasn't going to, and that took a lot of work internally. And also, thankfully for my sister, who's my real sober buddy, she gave up drinking when she was like 18, teenage pregnancy, and found God. And so she's been a great sounding board. So I just rang her and said, look, I'm really thinking about this. And we kind of talked about a lot, and I worked through it for myself. Like, what did I want it to do for me on that night specifically that I didn't think I would get sober? Yeah, so it was definitely there. It was definitely on my mind.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I think it's so important to highlight these things, that there's situations sometimes where we are faced with that decision, or it can start to become really, really tempting. I love the fact that you took the time to work it through and that you reached out to someone like your sister, that you reached out and just said, hey, you know, this is what I'm thinking. In terms of weighing it up for you, was like the pros and cons, how did it look for you?
Yeah, I think reflecting back, there was probably two specific things. I was really wondering, like, what is it that you want to get out of the night that you think you'd need alcohol to enhance or elevate? Mm. Like, can you actually have a good time without drinking? Like, at 3 years sober, there's a lot of times I've had a really good time, but I had to ask what it was I was looking for. And honestly, it's like just that playing it forward, not for that night, Danny, because I do often, back in the early days, I used to have to play it forward all the time of what would this night look like, and inevitably it would look like, it sounded like one cute drink and it ended up in 10 cute drinks and then shots and then more cute drinks, and I'd just be blind mess and sick and hungover the next day. But I actually had to think what this would mean for my sobriety, and I had to be really honest with myself that if I had a drink on my hands, it's unlikely that it would end there, and actually it would be more likely that it would start to get a hold back in my life, because what would my next excuse be at my wedding? If I'd had a drink at my hands, I really honestly believe I would have had a drink at my wedding. And then if I had a drink at my wedding, wouldn't I then have a drink at my honeymoon? Because then that's kind of the next natural point that I would have a drink. And one of my main reasons for giving up drinking was to maintain my relationship with my husband, because my drinking was becoming a real problem in our relationship. And honestly, I value him above anything else. So I thought, it's just a slippery slope. One drink for my hands to celebrate my wedding. Fast forward 6 months and we're getting divorced because I'm a booze hag again, and he can't deal with drunk Tara, who's being crazy and just losing the plot. So, I mean, that might sound that might sound extreme, but that's how I had to play it out, because it's not, it's never just one night. It's never just one drink. Like, alcohol culturally has a stronghold on society. It had a stronghold on me. I've been sober before many years ago, and this is exactly how it started. I'll just have a drink here. I'll just have a drink there. Bang, next thing you know, things are not good.
I'm so glad you said that too. And I see it all the time, sadly, with, you know, coaching people. I've had people that have been sober for a year and then said that, I think I'm just going to try. And of course I'm thinking, no. And try and weigh it up and do the pros and cons. But it's up to the person. I can't tell them what to do.
Maybe suddenly I can moderate. Like, I've never been able to moderate in my entire life.
And unfortunately, it usually does start off just one. And then, like you say, then the next thing, it's at a friend's hen's night, or this occasion, until it just creeps back in. And then we've got to work like fucking hell. I reckon sometimes it's harder to get back on the train again and to get it to stick again. And that's worth thinking about. So I'm not saying that to scare people, but I mean, that's always been my thing. This time around, in these 6.5 years, I've always just thought, I know if I just have one, I know myself. Doesn't matter how much work I've done on myself, I know how my brain works. So it's good on you. And it's really important to play that forward. And I love also how you said, what is it I'm looking for? What am I hoping that alcohol will give me? And of course, there's times we all want that reckless abandon. I think sometimes some of us miss that part of ourselves.
Yeah,
I definitely think that's a really legitimate thing. Yeah. Okay, and so how did you go then without having the reckless abandon? Did you honestly still have it? Did you find it another way?
Worst night of my life. Nah, joking. It was, interestingly, we started the night at a pub, right, because I don't drink and my sister doesn't drink, but everyone else around me drinks and loves having a party. So, and personally, I don't care to be at a pub. Like, I don't mind. I can be at pubs. I can be around alcohol. There's heaps of alcohol in my fridge right now. I think my husband's having a beer. It doesn't worry me. So we started off at a pub because that's always just a good meeting spot for everyone to kind of, there's got big tables. You can go and hang out and you don't have to book a spot. So we all started off at the pub, and then we went to a drag show in Brunswick, and it was a lot of fun. They gave us some terrible food. They did some great drag shows. We all screamed and laughed. And honestly, like, I looked better on my hens than I did at my wedding. And so that was fun as well. Like, I looked like an absolute blonde bombshell. Mm. I thought, I've never looked so good in all my life. And I had my favorite people around me. I had amazing work friends, my beautiful sister, my niece, my best man, his husband, people that I hadn't seen for ages, a beautiful girl that I went to school with that I hardly ever get to see, and she came to spend, and she's sober as well, actually, and she came to spend the night with me, which was just so special. And there was just so many moments where we were just having so much fun and having real conversations and really connecting, and I had a blast. When it got to that time of the night where I was like feeling a little weary and all the fun was kind of starting to filter out, and I was watching the people who were drinking kind of like toddle off sideways, I was like, yeah, cool. And we hopped in a Uber and we went home, and we went to our Airbnb in the city and had a little debrief. And yeah, it was just absolutely amazing. I had a great night, and yeah, I was really grateful the next day that I had not ruined my whatever days it was then, like set 800 days with drinking on that night. And I was so grateful to myself for keeping that promise to myself. Oh, I feel emotional.
Yeah, me too. I'm so proud of you. And it just goes to show, you know, you think you need it, you get your knickers in a twist about it sometimes, and we just really don't need it. It's just such a lie that we need it
have a good time. I was so in my head about it.
Tell me, well, how does the end of the night look like when you've finished your hen's night, you're back at your Airbnb? What's that like? Is it jammies? Is it sitting with a cup of tea and talking with a girlfriend or your best man? Yeah.
Yeah. So I was staying in an Airbnb with my sister, and we were sharing a bed, and coming home after the hens looks like not abandonment. It looks like self-care. And so if I had have gone into wild abandonment, I would have gone to sleep with a face full of makeup and I had gorgeous red lipstick on. It would have been smudged all over my face. Instead, I went home and took off my fake eyelashes so I could use them again. I washed my face. I brushed my teeth, got into bed with Shona and chatted about what a fun night it was. And, yeah, it was just at like a really nice wind down time to reflect on what fun it had been. But, yeah, also cool. I'm like snuggling in the bed with my sister and she's like one of my best friends, and I was washed my face and did my serum and I looked good and I felt good, and it just really felt like a big win. Yeah. And she knew that I was toying with it, so she could celebrate that with me. Like, yeah. Yeah. So it was really great.
Oh, amazing. I feel so teary too. My eyes are stinging. And I just love that. I love that whole picture. I could just see it now. It's absolutely gorgeous. And it's just such a gift to yourself as opposed to the other option. And the next day, I mean, that's going to feel amazing too, like waking up and just feeling whole, feeling yourself.
Yes. Well, we were in Sydney, Melbourne, so it was time to go and line up for some croissants and get a beautiful coffee. And then I think later that afternoon we went tubing up at Warburton, which I'm not sure I would have been able to do if I had been hungover. So that was, like, you know, a fun time was backed up with another fun time, then doing family activities. So, yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, amazing. I remember some time ago now that one of the grads, Michelle French, who's been on the podcast before, she's coming on again soon, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, love her. Love. But she was, I don't know if she was driving. I'll have to ask her on the podcast. I think she was driving people on a hen's night. She was going to a hen's night, and that was at times challenging, I think, throughout the night, but she got through it and she was so proud of herself. And I think people were inquiring as to why she's doing that, but people felt really proud of her. She felt proud of herself and that she managed to just breeze through it in the end. And you just come out feeling so proud of yourself when you do something like that. You get through a big occasion like that, and it's a big fucking deal. It's a big deal. People when it's been that struggle. But in saying that too, it's not so much a big deal either, that it's just you're just showing up as yourself authentically, just being you and just
and once you're there and everyone's there and things are happening, all that stuff that was going on in your head before the event just goes, and then you're just enjoying yourself. So yeah, it's kind of like once you're there, it's all past and you're just able to have fun and relax and be yourself. It's like, where did we learn that we needed alcohol to be ourselves and be authentic and have a fun time? It's Yeah, so strange.
Absolutely. Yeah. So really important for people listening, whether it's a hen's night, a buck's night, whether it's a work function, whether it's going to the races, I don't know. Just watch it. When you're getting all in your head about it or you're starting to worry, like what Tara said, well, what am I hoping it will give me? It's a really great question to ask. Maybe perhaps even asking, what will it look like at the end of the night if I do drink? How is it actually going to look? We're being really honest with ourselves, the impact it might have, but also how it might look if you don't do it, playing the tape forward on that scenario as well, how it might look at the end of the night. Is there another way like I can just deal with, can I accept that I might not have reckless abandon, or perhaps I can accept the fact that I might have fun anyway? It's also good to think about, this is one thing that helped me sometimes, Tara. I would remember other nights that I'd got through when I hadn't drunk before, even previous to quitting this time. So it might've been times when I was pregnant. I used to think about that a lot. Well, I did that when I was pregnant, so I'm sure I could do it again. Or I had fun when I was a kid without drinking. Sometimes it would be literally down to those times, but it's really good, I think, for your own self-esteem to remember and reflect on times in the past and to get that historical evidence that you can do it because you might've done it before at some stage. So yeah, I think that's really important for people as well. So, okay, that's so fantastic. One more question about that and then we'll move on. Did you get any grief from anyone? Can't wait, you're fucking drinking, it's your hen's night. Did you feel that pressure from anyone? No.
No. The girls who came to my hens absolutely knew I wasn't going to drink. So not one single person even mentioned it. And I actually think had I been like, guys, do you know what? I'm just going to drink tonight. I'm pretty sure they would have all been like, what? No way. You're not even drinking. Like, I feel like they would have supported me by trying to bar me, even if I hadn't been there being like, I'm going to drink. I think they would have been horrified. So it's a good group. Yeah.
It really helps if you've got supportive friends, 100%. I think that's absolutely helpful. Okay. So let's go forward to the wedding. So you never really felt like it was never really a concern for you getting married without booze?
No, Danny. To be honest, I was like steadfast that there's no way I was going to drink at my wedding. And that's just absolutely for me. Like for whatever reason, there was this like massive line between the hens and the wedding, but I really wanted to be 100% there. I really wanted it to be just very sober, but fun. And it was very fun. But I know that some of those poignant moments, like when we walked back down the aisle and the champagne was there, I know that there's a lot of expectation that those are moments that we will drink in. So I can really empathize that people, not me, would feel like that was an appropriate moment to have the drink as the symbol of our society to say cheers. We're kind of cementing our marriage by clinking a glass and having alcohol. I can really appreciate and empathize that people would feel that they would want to drink on their wedding day. This is my second marriage. I did drink on at my first marriage. And remember that being an important part of the wedding was to have the drinks and to celebrate with alcohol. And yeah, thankfully that wasn't my experience with this wedding. So I felt really solid in that. But obviously did not do enough planning to make sure that the right people knew that I wasn't going to be drinking. But, yeah, I'm just really thankful for my actual wedding. Mm. There was no real cravings there. I felt really happy to be 100% awake, aware, sober for that whole, the before and the during and the after.
Yeah, it's amazing. And for people listening, so if you do have a wedding coming up, whether it be at your own or someone else's wedding, I'm glad that you said that too, Tara. You can really empathize with the fact that there are those moments where it feels like that's important. So one thing I would offer up, and you might have some suggestions too, Tara, perhaps we can bounce some off each other here for people listening. I would say what you didn't do, Tara, and there's no judgment here, I'm not having a go. I would say, you know, let them know. So make sure you've got some alcohol-free options. Like, so you might have some alcohol-free sparkling, or you might have soda water or something like that with some bubbles that you can have. Make sure it's there on hand. What else would you say? I love how you said you were steadfast too, Tara. So it's just getting it really straight in your mind. I would also go so far as to say, even visualizing yourself there, if you're getting a bit worried, like visualizing yourself there being sober, getting to the end of the night, like seeing yourself having a good time without drinking can be really helpful. You got any other suggestions?
Yeah. Also, I think actually reflecting back, it was lucky I was so steadfast, because that point where you walk up to the champagne, that actually could have been a really bad triggering moment. And in the moment, someone might just have drank that. So actually definitely tell the venue no alcohol in the glass, because that could be a real tipping point. So anyway, I've never really analysed it that far. But I think in terms of how to potentially approach it, I'll just reference another wedding that I went to early in my sobriety days and how I guess I approached that. And when I was feeling like I did want to drink and I should be drinking because it's a wedding and it's a celebration, I really tried to focus on, because it wasn't my wedding, and not centering it around me and thinking about being there to celebrate the bride and groom and what was their day in that beautiful celebration that actually had nothing to do with alcohol, and their vows and their celebration was not enhanced at all by alcohol. And I was actually just kept reflecting on the fact that I would be able to be really present and really enjoy every moment and really have a great time at their wedding in honor of them. And it actually had nothing to do with alcohol. So that's kind of how I approached going to a wedding. But I think for me, as well, if it is your wedding, your marriage to your future husband or wife has no foundation in alcohol. And on that day, the commitment between two people is so special. And honestly, I think that's why I didn't want to drink, because I just wanted to honor the commitment I was making to Andrew so much. And alcohol does nothing to enhance that. It only takes away. So I think it's just a great opportunity to be so present in every single moment of your vows. I did mention to you earlier, my dad isn't well and he's around for my wedding. My mum and dad both actually walked me down the aisle. But that time before the wedding, when it's just my family, that's time I'll never get back, and time that I didn't want to be drunk or distracted by thinking, who's got the verve? Where's my next champagne coming from? Even for a second, I just wanted to have that time with them, and then that time with my husband, and then the time with all our awesome friends and enjoying that party. But I didn't, I really wanted to just be very present in it.
Yeah, I love that so much. Oh, getting teary again. It's so true. You don't want the foundation of your marriage to be one where you're drunk or you're shit-faced. And I love what you said. It's so important, especially time with special family members that you can never get back sometimes. They're really just so beautiful. There's a photo on my fridge of my dad as we're walking down the aisle together, and he's looking at me straight in the eyes and I'm looking at him back. Oh, God. And he's just sort of smiling and I'm smiling at him, and it's the most beautiful photo. I love it so much. And those precious memories are so, so important. And I love that. I love that you highlighted that. I think it's absolutely beautiful. I think also for people, if you're planning a wedding, whether you're sober or not sober, it might be a really nice idea to have some alcohol-free options for guests that perhaps aren't drinking. Perhaps an alcohol-free wine, a couple of alcohol-free beers, one alcohol-free beer is a really nice option as well. I know a lot of people say they get stuck out at weddings because there's no alcohol-free options for them. So I think that's a really nice offering that people can make if they're planning a wedding. I think that's a really good thing to do as well, to support other people that might not want to drink or get shit-faced. Imagine having a dry wedding. That'd be pretty intense. I reckon Linda would do that.
Yeah, some people have done that. And some people have been like, we're not coming. if you're not putting on drinks, we're not going to your wedding. I'm like, wow.
Oh, my God.
There's value friendship right there.
Oh, my God. One of my sisters, when she got married, I was a bridesmaid in her wedding, and we got so shit-faced so early. I can't even really remember the limo ride, and I was swaying from side to side in the video when she was – I was so drunk. I was so, so drunk. And I remember my dad had to come and pull me out of the toilet cubicle. My legs, I'd passed out in the toilet cubicle. and he dragged me up by my feet.
Danny.
To the cubicle when the speeches were on. Just disgraceful. Oh, my God, my poor sister.
You have the best stories.
I've got a few. Anyway, well, that was really good. So, Tara, all in all, so obviously it was a beautiful day, beautiful celebration of your love, and no regrets not drinking.
Yeah. I wrote that down as my last point, Danny. I wrote, it was the most amazing wedding. I remembered most of it because, honestly, even when you're sober, it's just a daze because there's so much going on. The foundational thing was I married my husband, who I love dearly, and so that not drinking alcohol couldn't take anything away from that. So I wrote no regrets. No regrets at all for not drinking. Yeah, it was a beautiful day. I couldn't have added anything to it, and especially not alcohol.
Yeah. So for people listening, you can do it. You absolutely can do it. Tara can do it. Bloody hell, we can all do it. And I wish I got to have mine again as a completely sober person. But really interesting too, like I said, at mine, I was so worried, so worried about getting shit-faced drunk like I did at my sister's wedding that I had to drink those horrible light champagnes, which gave me the horrible headache. But it just shows how it was playing on me for such a long time, that kind of worry and that concern about how I was going to be and how I was going to show up. It's interesting. So, yeah, so for people listening, you totally can do it. I think a little bit of planning might help as well. So, yes. Like making sure you've got those alcohol-free drinks, playing it forward, all that kind of thing. And just imagining that your beautiful wedding night being completely sober and how special, because you want that night to be really, really special. You're not something where you're either fighting or you can't remember it.
Yeah, that's right. Imagine having a fight at the end. So there wasn't a lot of romance. Muzzy went to sleep straight away. But again, you know, able to go and take off the dress and the makeup and undo the hair. And it was great. Wouldn't have changed a thing.
Yeah. Amazing, Tara. Thank you so much. You've always got little gems of wisdom, and I really, really appreciate you sharing and appreciate you being part of our beautiful How I Quit Alcohol grads group. It's really exciting. Now we've put up an offering for anyone who's in the How I Quit Alcohol grads community in that group. For anyone who joins after doing one of my challenges, have lifetime access now to any of the challenges and courses that I run free of charge as part of the subscription. So I know a lot of the grads are going to be jumping on again into the next challenge as well, just for a bit of a refresher. And as you said, Tara, the course has changed so much over time as I've sort of grown and as I've studied more and different things and the breath work, the meditation, all those different things. And so it's a really good opportunity to just keep expanding. So it's not always about the staying sober part or the not drinking part, but just the continual evolution of ourselves. So that's a really exciting new offering for the grads and for the people in that group, or for the future people in that group. So that's awesome. Anything else you wanted to add, Tara?
No, other than I'll be jumping on that because I am actually so excited to see that evolution and how the course has matured. And yeah, just like I think it'd be cool to get around some of the newbies as well and see what starting again looks like 3 years later. So, but yeah, thanks for having me, Danny. Always fun. Always happy to share my little bits and pieces about sober living. And all I would say is if you are sober and you've made that decision, don't drink just because it's an event. Like, just guard your sobriety so closely, and it's never worth it. You'll have no regrets by not drinking. I've never had an event after 3 years where I thought, oh, I wish I had have drank that night. So, yeah, guard your sobriety.
Yes, well said. And 100% agree. Like, I've never gone to anything and thought, I have before thought, oh, shit, you know, or even that moment of missing a part of yourself, but that old part of yourself sometimes. But I've never regretted it the next day. I've always thought, oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I've never met anyone who has ever regretted not drinking at an event.
Yeah.
So
yeah, like, yeah, I should have got on the news last night. Would have been way better. not a thing.
All right. Thanks, Tara McCarthy. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time tonight. You're amazing.
Thanks, Danny. Take care.
Thanks, Tara. See you soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.